Welcome to Cowside Conversations, a monthly podcast brought to you by the Center for Dairy Excellence. We've heard time and time again that dairy farmers learn the most from other dairy farmers. So in this podcast, we are going to share real-time farmer insights, tricks of the trade, and inspiring stories from dairies across Pennsylvania. I'm Jane Seabright, director at the center. Here's this month's episode. With the COVID vaccine literally just approved by FDA, everyone is talking about viruses, quarantine, and vaccines right now. So in this month's episode, we thought it would be interesting to talk about vaccination protocols and biosecurity on the farm. Joining me for that discussion is Nate Heim, the general manager with Yippee Farms. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So for my first question, tell us a little bit more about the dairy operation you're a part of, those involved, where you're located, and what your role there is.
So Yippee Farms is owned by Arlen and Deborah Benner. We have 2,300 adult cows and 1,100 heifers, and we farm at two locations, Mount Joy in Lancaster County and Cochranville in Chester County. And my role between the two farms is I oversee both operations and all the employees and all the aspects that involve with the day-to-day operations of the dairy. And then my boss, Arlen, oversees the cropping and the big picture. And his wife, Deborah, oversees all the finances and the books.
Thanks, Nate. My first question regarding vaccinations is, what are some of the unique aspects of Yippee Farms that had made having a strict vaccination and biosecurity plan important?
For us, it's pretty unique in the fact that April of 2017, we started milking at a new facility that we had purchased, and we started there from scratch, so we bought in about 1,000 cows in the first 6 months. And in the meantime, we were still milking at four locations in Mount Joy. So over time, we have consolidated that down to just two milking facilities. So we calve all our animals at the location in Mount Joy, and then we take them down to the other operation where we milk about 1,700. And that's strictly just a milk facility. That way we could gain efficiencies by streamlining the calving and the milking at two different facilities.
So with those multiple locations, how have you developed your vaccination protocols for the dairy? What about biosecurity protocols? What have you done to protect the animals as you're moving them around?
In the beginning, it was a learning curve. When we started buying in animals, initially it went through a jockey in the beginning, and through that we saw a lot of health issues. So from there we decided that the best thing was to try and buy from other farms that were larger. That way I could get a load of 35 to 40 cows from one operation, and I knew from talking to them what their health protocols were and vaccinations, and it helped to have the animals adjust a lot better. Now, over the past 2-3 years with all the animals we have bought, obviously you're going to bring in some health issues that you didn't have before, or from you might expose what you thought was a closed herd of your own into other health issues. So through that, we've had to continually change and make improvements to our vaccination protocol, especially in the younger animals, the calves. We found that they were exposed to different stuff through the mothers from bringing them in. About 2 years after is when it erupted in the calves, because cows we bought had health issues. And then you don't see it when they're milking. And then we know they pass it to the calves. And then we started seeing health issues in calves. So it was sort of a lag. So we had to go through and completely redo our whole entire calf vaccination protocol, and we changed how we feed calves and everything, because we ran into a bunch of health issues that we had never had. I mean, we had everything in the book. It's one of those, that's where I think we had the issues all along, but the combination made, like, it's like fire, it just spreads. And that's what I think a lot of farms have, is they have the issues, they just don't realize they have it. You know, you go through something like that, it sort of, it breaks it. So yeah, I mean, the past 2019 and 2019 and the first 6 months of 2020, it was like beating our head against the wall trying to figure out calves, and now we finally, I think, got it. But as far as biosecurity, we just try and watch when animals come in that it's a good cattle hauler and the trailer's clean. We try and segregate the animals for about 24 hours just to so they can get acclimated and adjusted. And we also vaccinate them as soon as they come off the trailer just to help boost their immunity through the transition period.
How did you assess the risks that you're addressing in your vaccination and biosecurity plan?
We assess it by, obviously, in a perfect world, you wouldn't have any issues. But the reality is, on most dairy farms, you're going to have health exposures. I think there's a lot of dairy farms that think they don't have issues, but they really have them. And maybe bringing an outside animal in is what exposes the weakness that you had in your program before. So I think for us, it was twofold. We had some issues with some cattle we brought in, perhaps. But I think at the other side, it exposed where our weaknesses were in our program. So we made a lot of changes to that throughout. I try and determine the risk by not necessarily looking at the individual that gets it, but looking at the whole. So obviously you're going to have some animals that, you know, get sick and you don't want that you might have to sell. But as long as the whole and the majority is doing well, that's the long-term solution, not just being so concerned about one getting it. It's if you're limiting the spread to the other animals.
What are the key issues that you focus on in your vaccination plan?
Obviously, the biggest thing for us is we move cattle a lot. So we move fresh cows to our other location at 1 week fresh. And then when the cows go dry, they return to our other location. So there's constantly cows moving back and forth every week. And we also move our heifers. Majority of our heifers are at our Mount Joy location, but we have all our breeding age heifers down at our other location. So we're moving the heifers back and forth also. So the one thing we try and do through that is whenever we are doing moves on the animals from calves up through the dry cow, we try and use a nasal product to just help boost their immune system for the short term during that stressful time. And that seems to help a lot with preventing a lot of respiratory issues through the transition. We had minimal shipping fever issues through all the purchases of cattle and moving them. Some of the farms, when we purchased cows, I had them give nasal products before they were loaded on the trailer, and then if they weren't, we made sure to do it as soon as they come off the trailer. We make sure we go through and vaccinate them as soon as they're coming off the trailer.
So even if you know that they have all of their vaccinations, you just give them another one, just a booster, just in case when you're moving them?
Yeah, so we make sure they get a nasal product to help with that, and then obviously, with your BVD, we go through and give them, we shoot for like 28 to 34 days fresh to give that. Now, if I know the farm had given it to him pre-calving as a 2-year-old, then I won't. So I try and work closely with the farms that I'm purchasing cattle through to know their vaccination protocol, and that helps us through the transition. And then the biggest thing we've done as a farm is we've went after the young calves and really vaccinate them heavily and try and cover them for whatever issues we think we might have or they might be exposed to help prevent any of the issues going forward. So it's one of those, even if you have some issues, the goal is not, you're not just going to eradicate it overnight. It's a work in progress, but to try and set up the next generation, which is in, you know, your young stock, to be better than the previous generation.
Good. So how do you ensure with all those protocols, how do you ensure they're being followed with your employees, with the other farms? What kind of things do you do to make sure that what you want is getting done?
So for both locations, we use our PC Dart has all our vaccination lists. And then what I try and do at the farms is I try and print those out myself, give the list to the herds people. That way they know what vaccines they have to give. So they're the ones administering them. But I sort of oversee to make sure each cow is getting the vaccination she needs and that it's set up through. And then as far as our young stock, when the calves are born, the employees are trained to know which vaccine they give as soon as the calf's born, which one they give at 24 hours. And then from there, our herdsman at Mount Joy takes care of vaccinating them up through the program. And then we also work closely with our veterinarian and the drug companies that we purchase through to help develop those programs and make sure they're getting administered correctly.
So is quarantining animals part of your biosecurity plans? And if so, for what purpose do you quarantine?
When we were purchasing a lot of the animals, we tried to keep them segregated for 24 hours or 48. Ultimately, it depended on how quickly they get trained in the parlor. But through purchasing animals, we found that the best thing to do was try and purchase animals from a farm that has the same parlor. That helps reduce the stress on the cows when they get there. We still keep them separate, but recently we milk them off the trailer and then just put them in a group so that we're not segregating right now. And that's just from trial and error. I found that now we've have it narrowed down to who we get to supply our cows that we purchase. And I know the history of what the animals have done before. So I feel confident that we'll have minimal issues.
Good. So just overall, and you did talk a little bit about this, but what are your key goals with both your vaccination and your biosecurity plans?
Obviously, the big thing with vaccinations for us is to set that animal up to be the most productive and profitable cow down the road. I feel some people get caught up on the initial cost of vaccinations, but if you look at the big scheme of it, it's not that much money if you can save one or two cows out of 100. So, you know, if you look at a cow that you have to purchase for $1,600, you can spend $10 vaccinating 160 cows up to that point to prevent that one cow from getting sick or being sold. So when you look at the numbers in the whole, you can spend what seems like a lot of money on vaccinations, but in the long run, it's actually minimal when you look at the cost of what you'd have to do if you lose an animal from sickness throughout her lactations.
So what do you think the biggest lesson you've learned is about implementing vaccination protocols and biosecurity plans?
Biggest thing probably is what what you might have done before in the farm's history isn't what you need to do now. Times change and evolve. Different health issues come up that you might not have had on the farm before. An example that a lot of farms are facing that's newer to the industry, but has probably been there before. It might have just got misdiagnosed or people didn't realize what it was. It was, you know, issues with salmonella in calves. The newer one is Salmonella Dublin. But I think, you know, examples like that is they're there. People just don't realize they're there, and they might be misdiagnosed. So what we've tried to do throughout to help with that is if we have an issue with a calf or a little bit older calf or a heifer, we've spent the money and the time to send them to a state lab just to know what we're dealing with. And we've done that, too, on cultures of milk. So I think the big thing is you just got to sort of put some money and time into knowing what you have and then develop your vaccination program off of that. And what you did 5 years ago might not be what you need to do today. And then it's just continually training your employees and helping them to understand that there might be some health issues that come up and that they know it's not their fault. It's nothing they did, but they can help be part of the solution and help you work towards minimizing the spread to other animals.
So you talked a little bit about the different partners you work with on your vaccination program. How important do you think it is to have the veterinarian involved in what you're doing on your farm?
For us, it's very important. The veterinarian we work with, every week we have her, when she comes to the farm, the first thing she does is actually meet with our calf feeder just to go over what he's seeing in the young calves. And we draw blood serums on heifers so we know how we're doing on our colostrum management and protocols. But then she's seeing what the calf feeder's seeing, and then it allows us to talk when we're going through the cows doing the regular vet check, if we're seeing anything or what we're seeing, and then just using her knowledge and then the other drug companies that we work with and the experience they have to help come up with the protocols and what vaccinations we should do for the farm.
Thanks. So our last question is, if you were talking to another farmer who doesn't have a really good vaccination or biosecurity plan in place, what advice would you give them?
The biggest advice I would give is don't look at vaccinations and the protocols you implement as a cost. It's not an expense to me. To me, it's an investment because you're investing in your future. Ultimately, what helps cows make it to their fourth or fifth or sixth lactation is being healthy from day one and throughout their time. And everyone knows the most sickening thing is when you raise a heifer for 2 years, you calve her in, and she shows pneumonia at 60 days fresh because you just invested all that money in her. And now when she got into milking form and the stress, she shows pneumonia. There's stuff you can do the previous 2 years before that to help prevent that. So if you look at, you know, just that one animal, you could have vaccinated 100 multiple times throughout that to prevent that one and ultimately help make the farm more profitable in the long run.
That's really good advice, Nate. Thank you for joining us today. I thought your insight was really good.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share our farm and what we've seen and what we do. I guess the biggest thing is, you know, every farm's unique. So just because one farm's doing one thing, it doesn't make it right or wrong. But the biggest thing is just making sure you have a vaccination protocol, being aggressive with how you do it, because there's always going to be new diseases that keep popping up.
That's really good advice. So hopefully your insight has been very beneficial to our Cal-Fi Conversation listeners. To those of you who are joining, thank you for joining us in our second episode of Cal-Fi Conversations, brought to you by the Center for Dairy Excellence to share real-time farmer insight, tricks of the trade, and inspiring stories from dairies across Pennsylvania. To follow us, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music. Thanks, Nate, again for joining us on today's episode.